This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And a good foggy, chilly Saturday morning, Bob. This is The Gardening Show. I'm Igor. Of course, it's Master Gardener Bob Harris over here. And good morning.
Good morning.
We have the streaming working on the Facebook Live, and that's going to be important because we have show and tell today. Yeah. I see some greenery on the countertop next to you, so I'm sure we'll get to that shortly.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bob. What's on your mind?
Oh, I wanted to talk a little bit about safety in the garden.
Okay.
And this can be important, especially this time of year. A lot of the bees and hornets, they're building their nests for fall and winter. They start around August. And so they get really defensive. So far, they've been calm. They're only after one thing, you know, collecting pollen and nectar and so on. But now, they've got to protect their home and their young to make sure they get through the winter. So they get very defensive and, you know, once in a while, even nasty to the point where even if you just get close, they'll consider you a threat and give you a little sting. So some of the things that I always like to practice, and I recommend it too if you're out there in the garden. And this is a great time to be out in the garden. So I'm going to stand up here for a minute, Igor.
Okay, I'm nervous. Here we go. Bob's getting up.
I'm not going to dance.
you have a stick.
Yeah, I always carry my rake with me. You know, I love these adjustable rakes here. They're just real handy to have. So I'm going out to possibly trim this shrub.
Okay.
So the first thing I always do is, before I even get real close to it, is kind of poke it with my rake.
Okay.
Now, if there's any bee's nest or hornet or wasp in there, that'll stir them up, and I'll be able to see if it's safe to approach that plant or not.
So with the stick end, you jab it in?
Yeah, give it a little shake. Yeah. You know, okay. That'll rile them up, and they'll come out and show, rather than me just go right in there, which yeah. I've done a lot of times, go right in there and start trimming or deadheading or whatever, you know, and then get stung.
All of a sudden, surprise.
Yeah.
You have company.
Which I don't mean to bore you with stories, but that was my wife's been doing some work up at Oak Hill and trimming some shrubs and so on. And I failed to tell her about the bees. I told her about all the other things you should look for. And she got into a shrub, and there were ground bees, you know, not only look in the shrub, but look at the ground too. And she got stung several times.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
So she learned a valuable lesson there.
So you're saying sticks in the holes too in the ground or what?
Usually you just have to watch. So you come up against the plant and really look it over first before you even start. Look at the ground, make sure no bees are going in and out of holes. Give the plant a little poke, see if there's any nest inside, or just a solitary one, and look it over for a minute or two. Take notice. Now also look for wires or utilities that may be near that you forgot about. Look at trip hazards. That neighborhood groundhog may have dug a hole nearby that you can fall in. So and look for maybe a rock that you forgot about. All those can be trip hazards and cause a lot of heartache there. So check all that out. And again, check for that bees and wasps and hornets. Look up above you. Look at the shrub. Look at the ground.
Steve on Facebook, by the way, says it's your fault she got stung.
It is my fault.
You didn't warn
her
about the bees.
I did.
Or the wasps or whatever they were.
I warned her about everything else, I believe, except that.
The one thing.
And I really should have because I've been attacked several times. And then also look for poison ivy.
Oh, yeah.
Those leaves of three, that can really ruin a gardening experience. So look out for them. And then last, look for thorns. some plants have wicked thorns, the hawthorns. That's a tree and can be a shrub. They can have 3-inch long needles that are extremely sharp and extremely painful when you get jabbed with one. So check all that out, you know, before you really start to work. It only takes a minute to do all this. So well worth it. Think about garden safety. I always like to wear gloves, even if the bee, you know, you're reaching in there and you miss the bee, it's going to make it almost impossible for them to sting through. So all that is real helpful. So that leads me to, you know, pruning. I did a little bit of that on the show before. You know, there are certain times or best times, they say, when to prune a shrub. But a lot of us don't get the time or forget to do it then. So the best time really is when you are ready to do it.
Oh.
You're not going to really cause any harm to any plant or shrub. You may even you may even promote better growth.
Mm.
Pruning at any time.
I usually try when I start. I see the new brighter green growth.
Yeah.
To kind of like, you know,
on evergreens, curb that. Yeah. That's a real good way to go
shrubs.
About. Yeah. Because that does encourage you when they're showing that new growth. It's showing they're in a growth spurt. Some plants don't grow all the time, like this guy beside me. Don't grow all the time. They grow in spurts. They'll grow for a week or two. Then they'll take a rest. That takes a lot of energy out of a plant. They'll take a rest and even help develop those growth tips into a stronger plant part that can withstand sun, shade, cold. So they go through those spurts. So it's a good idea to trim when they are going through a growth spurt, because you'll encourage, like I talked last week, I think it was about the apical bud dominance. You'll encourage new buds to appear on the plant that wouldn't naturally appear, and it can thicken your shrub. You can be pruning off flowers, but if a plant needs pruned, you can forego a flower for a while. Sometimes you just got to forego those blossoms and do the pruning when it needs to be pruned. So that's it with my gardening safety. Keep all those things in mind. Really check out a plant. It's well worth it. Before you even approach it, you know, look from the distance to watch what's going on, utilities, all that kind of stuff, trip hazards. And then you can get in there and start your work. Only takes a minute. So another thing that might be on people's mind is, especially the new gardeners, some of their vegetable plants may be looking kind of rough, you know, not as great as they used to be. And that's common. We're into that time where they've really done most of their growth, and they're starting to get rid of some of the old leaves, or diseases and funguses had attacked them, and some of the foliage is looking bad. So a good idea, just in case it is a fungus or a disease, to get rid of that old foliage, trim it off, dispose of it away from the plant, and you'll be helping the plant out a lot. One of the more noticeable ones will be on people's cucumbers and squash, a lot of those big leaf vegetable plants. They might be getting that whitish or grayish look to them, and that's probably powdery mildew. It's a good idea to get rid of that leaf so it can't spread to other leaves, and that'll help your plant with air circulation. Also, sometimes our plants have produced so many leaves that the air can't really get through there, and even can make it hard for pollinators to get in and out of there to help pollinate those flowers. So we do have lots of fruit and vegetables. So it's a good idea to go in there and thin it out, cut those leaves off. As low as you can, cut them off, and you'll help promote better flowering, more air circulation, and you'll be getting rid of that disease so it can continue. Most of the time, we don't have to treat it with chemicals. It's just a natural process they're going through. That, you know, hard to think about it, but a lot of our plants now are getting into old age. So things are going to happen like that. So just keep them cleaned up, and everything will be fine. Another thing to think about is a lot of the vegetables, pick the ripe fruit often. the more you pick off fruit, the better chance of that plant producing new fruit so that we can keep it in what we call production longer period of time. So again, good idea to keep picking that fruit.
I have a question about saying things don't look as healthy as they used to be. My garden's doing fine, except our hanging baskets of strawberries were devastated by Japanese beetles.
Are
those, and we haven't gotten strawberries in weeks.
Is
that done for the year?
No.
It could be recovered.
Yes, can be recovered, yes.
Now, what is happening is they're growing long, over, you know, the vines or whatever they are, the stem.
Yep.
But there's no fruit.
No fruit on them, yeah. And there won't be on the end of the vine. Those are going to be next year's producing parts.
Okay.
So it's even a good idea if you can take that vine and place it back up into the hanging basket. Mm. And that way that, I'm going to call them a pup.
Okay. young pups.
Yep, young pups. That'll give them a chance to root in the soil and get more nourishment and water. And then they can start to flower and hopefully even by the end of the season, maybe produce a little bit of fruit that way.
Do we need to trim off the leaves that have holes in them that have been
eaten? No, you don't have to.
Okay.
Now, if it's showing any kind of sign of disease where it's getting brown or cottony looking with that mold, then trim them off, yeah. But otherwise, no. It's the leaf is still producing and photosynthesizing, even though the beetles have eaten a lot of it.
Hey, Peggy has a question on Facebook. Yeah. She wants to know when the best time of year is to plant grass.
Grass? Oh, good question, Peggy. Spring and fall is the best time. Your grass really goes through big spurts also. It grows more in the spring, so planting in the spring is a good time, not only because of the growth of the plant, because usually spring is a little cooler and a little damper. And I'll tell you something about grass here. Maybe a lot of people don't realize grass is what we call a cool season crop. It loves cool weather. So it does its most growth during the cool, damp season. So spring and then fall is the best time to plant grass. And we'll also notice if we're mowing the grass, that's when it grows the most during the spring and the fall. I was going to go into more detail.
Well, if you're going to plant in the fall, I guess it has to be early enough in the fall so it gives it enough, you know, substance to survive the winter, or is it hardy from a little young pup grass?
Yeah, even from a little young pup grass. Even a few times I've done this, I've even planted grass seed over the top of snow. The grass seed is a very hardy, hardy seed. With success, not only did I try it, but it worked very well.
Did you put straw over it too?
No, I didn't have to because it was snow.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
The snow. Now, luckily that year, there was snow cover the whole winter long. That helps protect the seed. It's just like a layer of straw. That's what is important when you put grass seed down. You don't want it to get wet and then dry out. So, if you do put grass seed down, I highly recommend a little bit of straw to shade the soil, to keep it damp for a few weeks. That way the grass seed can germinate. Otherwise, it can sit there, get wet, and then dry out on a sunny day, and that makes it not viable anymore or no good. It has too hard of a time germinate. So in the winter even, I can throw grass seed down. It will melt its way down to the soil, and then the snow covers it and keeps it covered so it can't dry out. It stays damp the whole time. I don't really recommend that practice, you know, but it can work. But be aware that it may fail too, because we don't always get a constant snow cover anymore. So a winter can dry out a seed. But, of course, the best way is to really plant the seed, cover it with straw or some kind of covering. Quite often I'll do it different ways, and then keep it wet if we do end up with a dry period.
I was going to say, you know, even if it's not fall yet, if she tries to plant the grass now,
just, Sure, you can still.
It's not a guaranteed failure. You just have to keep it wet, right?
Right, that's all.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. Right. And some of my favorite ways of planting grass, say I have a small area, maybe a 10 by 10. Maybe I'll cover that here after a commercial. No, go ahead.
You're supposed to ignore those cards, Bob.
I'm trying to read your expressions.
No,
I'm failing at
finish
reading
your thought. It's fine. That's all right.
Okay.
Worth W. Smith has their commercial. They'll get it in.
Okay. Sometimes I like to, if I got a small spot, maybe a 10 by 10 area that's really bare. First, I may try to decide why is that spot bare. Is it bare because the soil's bad there? Is there no fertility? Is it too wet? Is it too dry? Once I correct those problems, I can plant the grass seed. I like to rake it in. So the grass seed is in intimate contact with the soil. The soil is what holds the moisture, and that's what's going to make the grass seed successful. Then my next step will be to totally cover it. And that can mean a piece of plastic, an old carpet, an old tarp, to cover it totally once I've watered it. That's going to hold that moisture in totally that way. I'm not going to have to water it anymore. I can cover it for a week. Then I can lift that cover if the grass seed has germinated and is up and a half an inch or an inch green. Now I can remove the cover.
You're kidding me. It could do that. I thought it needed sun.
No, doesn't need sun.
Wow. Okay.
So that way really works well for me. Especially for just taking care of them spots, because I don't have to go there and water every day or twice a day or three times a day. I can just apply the grass seed, rake it in, wet it real well, cover it, and walk away for a whole week.
Wow, that's great advice. I never knew that.
Now, if it hasn't germinated, and some grass seeds can take up to a month to germinate, I peek under that tarp. If it hasn't germinated, put the tarp back down. And walk away for another week. And then we keep checking it. And once we do see it all, the green sprouts, then we can remove that tarp or plastic, whatever we put down, and we'll have a nice spot there. Sometimes a lot more successful that way, because the birds and the chipmunks and all those guys haven't had a chance to take their share of it too.
All right, great. We'll be back with more questions if you'd have a phone call. That would be great. Yeah, give us a call on the show. Anything you want to chat about gardening-wise, it's 814-368-9372. And we're on Facebook Live as well. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/WESB1075. We'll be back in 30 seconds on B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford, like railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, lawnmower blades and repair kits, and gas-powered string trimmers. Worth Smith also carries a full line of durable Kevlar belts up to 120 inches in length. You'll find plenty of concrete mix in stock. And for your grilling or camper, don't forget to take your propane tanks to Worth Smith for a summertime fill-up. It's really true. If you need it, you'll always find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And just like that, we're back with more Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Bob, what is next on the agenda today?
One thing popped in my mind.
Uh-oh.
A lot of people like you had trouble with the Japanese beetle.
Yeah.
Eating a lot of leaves. And we go through a cycle with them. It's usually every round where we get an abundance of them. We have them every year. But when we get an abundance, usually a 10, 11-year cycle. But one way to help control it that I highly suggest is a material called milky spore. It's a bacterium that attacks the Japanese beetle while it's in its grub stage underground, feeding on the roots of your lawn.
I'm glad you mentioned that today, because that was on my chores list.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to completely do something else today, but now, because I bought it a couple weeks ago.
And okay.
I haven't gotten around to putting it on the,
the
lawn.
Good. Good. I'm glad you haven't yet.
Oh.
Because just like everything else, there's a good time, but then there's a time when you get time. The best time to apply it is early spring or late summer. August is a good time, because now the beetles have gone down, a lot of them have gone down to your grass. They're laid the eggs. The eggs have hatched, turned into grubs, and they're starting to go into the soil to feed on your grass roots. So this is the time to apply the milky spore where it will do the best for you. It'll still work at any time you apply it, but it'll do the best for you. If you apply it now, it wakes that dormant bacterium up, and it'll start to attack those grubs and kill off that generation. Now, again, a warning, it doesn't happen overnight. This is a long process. It may take 2 or 3 years even, but it will work. It's the safest way. It's the most insured way. There are chemicals that you can apply that'll kill them right away, but the chemicals here today, gone tomorrow after a few rains, and so another group will start to reproduce, and you'll have Japanese beetles again next year. The milky spore gets into your soil, and it's there for, they say, 50 years. I'm going to say a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have to do one application. Some of the material you buy on the market will say do more than one application. Do one in the late summer and then one again in the spring. That's kind of a belt and suspenders method of doing it, really.
I like that. Belt and suspenders. Yeah. Well, you know, they want to sell more product, Bob.
Yeah, yeah,
so
true.
Of course they're going to say use it more.
Yeah. Believe me, though, once that product's applied, and you do have a population of Japanese beetles that have turned into the grubs, it will multiply also, especially all the way through fall until the ground freezes. It's multiplying, looking for more of those grubs.
Now, does it only attack that one grub, or is it all grubs, that milky spore?
It will attack other grubs, but
okay.
Those other grubs we don't want either.
Right.
So it's a darn good product. It's been on the market for many, many decades. It's excellent.
It's pet safe. Pet safe.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. And they also will tell you, and one another thing we don't have to worry about here in Bradford is they say after you apply it, water it in. Well, Mother Nature's going to do that here. We're going to get our rain every week anyhow. So look at the calendar and say, well, it's going to rain tomorrow. Good day to apply it today. But if you miss a rain or two, that's okay. It's still going to work. Like I said, it's in a dormant stage, and it's just going to wait for that rain and get into the soil and sense that grub before it comes to life and starts reproducing and attacking those grubs.
Now, that milky spore is a very fine powder.
It can be.
Candy.
They also produce
the granule kind.
Yeah.
So I don't know which is better, because you were describing a couple weeks ago that you said to put it, like, you know, in a spoon or something,
yeah,
like that, and
just
very
toss it.
Lightly.
Yeah.
My question was, does it have, you know, when you put it down, does it spread itself out when it goes underground and kind of?
Yes, it does.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I don't know how much to use, or, you know, do I need like 8 bags of this, because it's expensive.
It's expensive, yeah.
So a little bit does go a long way, and it takes care of a large area.
It does, yeah.
Okay.
And like I'll mention it, we're Smith. They have bags of milky spore in the granular form. That's to make it easier for you to spread it evenly. That's the only reason it's in the granular form, just to make it easier for the customer.
Yeah, that's what I bought. What do they mix it in with? Because it's a bigger bag, and they have like other fill.
Yeah,
just to,
I really don't. Yeah. Don't know what exactly it's mixed with, but
some kind of filler that just,
yeah,
it makes it easier to evenly spread across, so there's
exactly
less confusion,
yeah,
or, you know, you're guaranteed to know that it's where it needs to be.
And that bag at Worth Smith says it covers 7,000 square feet, so that helps you you measure your yard. Now it doesn't have to be applied everywhere where your grass is really healthy. You probably don't need to apply it, because there's probably no grubs in that area. Where your grass is kind of weak and maybe sparse, that's probably telling you that the grubs are there and they're doing their job. If it's a real wet spot, don't apply it in a real wet, damp spot, because the grubs won't go into that area, because they'll drown in that area anyhow.
Would Japanese beetles be under mulch?
Yes,
okay.
They could be under mulch. They can be right in a flower bed. They could be right in a shrub bed. So if you feel that that shrub or that tree is not performing exactly as you think it should, maybe you should apply it there. One thing you can do to test, though, is take a shovel and take a 1 foot square area in your lawn or shrub bed and dig down a few inches and tip that over. And if you see any of the grubs, well, then you know there's a population there and I should apply it in that area.
Oh, okay. We have a phone call, Bob.
All right.
All right, let's go to it. Hi, The Gardening Show. Good morning.
Yeah, quick question for Bob. Does that milky spore have any influence or cause to kill nightcrawlers or worms?
No, it does not. No, not at all.
Oh, thanks. That's what I was interested in, if it killed anything other than grubs.
No, does not. It just kills the grubs. It's real specific.
That's pretty cool. All right. Hey, yeah. Thanks a lot for the call. You have a great weekend.
That's science at work.
That's pretty neat.
Yep.
814-368-9372 if you'd like to get your question in. We have about 3 minutes left.
I said it's science at work, but it's a naturally occurring
right
bacterium. But science has discovered that, and they're able to produce it in a lab and then sell it to the customer.
Pretty cool.
So
we talked about gardening safety today. We have a little show and tell, so you put the broomstick or the rake stick in there. You shook it. Make sure there's no bees. That was cool.
Yeah.
And we talked about milky spore and Japanese beetles.
And we talked about, you know, vegetable garden looking a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
Not to worry too much. Also, some people that have maple trees around, they may be seeing them black spots on the leaves. That's called a tar spot. And that usually happens when humidity is real high. That fungus is in the air everywhere around here. And if the humidity is just right, the temperature is just right, that fungus lands on a leaf and it gives it a chance to start to multiply. Good chances are that it's not going to kill your tree. It does look a little ugly. There's really nothing you should have to do. You know, just put up with it. Next year, maybe that tree won't have it. Or maybe if that tree is real thick that you can't see through it, then maybe it's time to thin it out a little bit so you can get better air circulation so that morning dew or rain can dry off quickly and not give a chance for that fungus to grow. So that black tar spot.
So it's not really going to kill your tree? It's
not going to kill your tree at all.
A little unsightly, that's all.
That's about it, yeah.
Okay.
So again, nothing to really worry about.
You solve that problem. All right. When I don't have to do anything, that's the best kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Kara Case on Facebook Live says, good morning, Bob.
Well, good morning, Kara.
Do you have a question? Go ahead and put it in the comment below. And remember, we are live on Facebook. We are live on the air every Saturday morning at 8:30. And we are on demand 24/7.
Yes.
On our website, WESB.com. Check that out if you need your Bob Harris fix on maybe a Monday morning or so. We have years of shows in the archives on there for you. Peggy says, thank you so much for doing this show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bob
you're welcome,
loves it.
Peggy. Yeah.
And plus, we pay him a big buck, so he really, you know, we made him an offer he can't refuse. So.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Oh, you know what? One more.
One more? Okay, yeah.
Okay, good. We have a call coming in. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I don't mean to call in so late, and I did miss a little bit of your show, and I really enjoy it. At camp, I have these big, long worms, like, they crawl up the tree. There's a whole bunch of them. What are they called, and how can I get rid of them?
Okay, that's probably the gypsy moth caterpillar.
Okay.
They should be about at the end of their life cycle, too. But next year, or even this year, what you can apply is what they call BT. It's just like that milky spore I was talking about that goes after the Japanese beetle grub.
Right.
The BT goes after the gypsy moth caterpillar and helps destroy them. Both of those products are totally safe for pets, people, or anything else. So they're real good, highly recommended products.
Call it again?
BT.
It's like a scientific name. What is the long?
Bacillus thuringiensis.
Okay, now how do I put it at the bottom of the tree? Do I swab the tree with it?
It'll come in a spray. You'll spray.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Now you can get your commercial in. Where do I buy it at?
You should be able to find that just about anywhere. Yeah, hopefully. You know, it's like all gardening products. They're still having a rough time keeping up with demand, but right. Just look around. You will find it.
Okay.
BT. All right, great. Thank you.
You two should go on the road.
Hey, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, on that note, we are done with another gardening show, Bob. We'll see you next week. Thanks
okay,
so much for doing it, and we'll see you next time.